hello, Carrie, everybody, wherever you are.
Isn't that a good way to start the show? Oh, you're on. Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, wait three.
Please enter your PIN followed by pound.
Wait a second.
Please wait. This conference is being recorded.
Is that Terry Brown?
That's Terry Brown.
And
we are
ladies
ready.
And gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm introducing Terry Brown.
Hello, everybody. This is the co-host of the Winfrey Monday Night Conference Call Show on BBS Radio. It's a simulcast where he brings in the people from the conference line, and then the people also listen on BBS Radio. Some people do both.
And then I want to tell Linda that we have the wonderful lady, Terry Brown, doing all this work for society out of Sedona, Arizona. And Terry, I love you, and thank you so much for what you're all doing for everybody.
Oh, thank you, Heiss. Heiss is located in California, and he's he introduces our calls with such grace, and I love it.
Actually, he said he was going to send me a bill for saying nice things about you. Well,
I hear a lot of people
in the background. You know, this show is, in fact, most of what we do is kind of like a wild ride. Did you know that? You know, it's like a wild, hi there. There is somebody coming in saying hello. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Hi, it's Melissa Brem from Carlisle, Pennsylvania.
Hi, Melissa.
Hi.
What's your last name?
Brem, B-R-E-H-M.
Oh, no. Where is Carlisle? Is that near Hazleton?
It's closer to Harrisburg, the capital.
Hey, you don't know the Brem family in Hazleton, do you?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
B-R-E-H-M?
Mm-hmm.
You don't ever heard of Lynn Brem, huh?
It's not ringing a bell.
Is this your first time on the line?
I haven't been on for quite a while. However, I have been on before.
You know, the reason I'm grilling you is because one of my first girlfriend, well, my second girlfriend, was Lynn Brem, B-R-E-H-M. And it's
pretty cool.
It's not a very common name. And I said, uh-oh, this could be dangerous.
Uh-oh.
And she lived in Hazleton.
Well, you can relax. I really don't know her.
Good. Okay. All right. She finally figured out how to track me and get the alimony.
Uh-oh.
Actually, we were not married. I don't know where any alimony, but all right. So we were just talking, you know, we do three shows a week, and we have lots of emails, and I couldn't imagine myself doing this at one point and saying, oh, my God, people are going to get tired of me, you know? I mean, I said, the only way to do this is for me to entertain myself, because if I made sure I was entertaining myself, everyone else would be entertained. But if I had the slightest idea that I had to keep you guys entertained, I'd screw up. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why...
Absolutely.
That's why it's seat of the pants. Because the only way I can entertain myself is not knowing what's happening next. Although we do make up topics, and we do have really amazing conversations. You know, Terry is finally catching up on some of the transcripts, and some of you are noticing a bunch of new transcripts coming in. And, you know, this is like three calls a week and then having three transcripts a week. And now Terry is not really doing them. Other people are doing them. There's Suzanne that's been doing them. There's Gina. There's Connie. And the problem is Terry has to edit them because oftentimes people make mistakes. And suddenly we're quoting our sources and they're saying exactly the opposite of what the transcript just has one little word off and it says exactly the opposite. So it's a lot of responsibility to put this out and give instructions from the Elohim that are just opposite of what they said. So Terry is editing the transcripts. And she's had a very hard time editing the transcripts. And when I ask her about it, one of the reasons is because she's been making pretend she's not really doing it. When I say not really doing it, I mean, I make pretend I'm not really doing it also. I mean, it's like when I like put up in front of my face and say, are you really doing this? It's like, if I am, I don't want to know about it because it's too much responsibility. Except you guys are screwing it up because you're having so many amazing results out of this work. And I know you're going through transformations around it. And in spite of the fact that Terry and I are not doing it, something is going on.
Well,
yes.
Oh, I didn't know if you were recording or not. This is Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Did I start the recording, guys?
I don't know.
Yes, Ben, you did.
I think I did. See, I'm
yes, you did.
I'm so not doing it that I can't even remember. but you know what? That's a good sign because it's a symptom of graduating this realm when you stop remembering things, okay? When you start to remember things, it means you're getting spacey. And when you're getting spacey, you're open to interdimensional energies. Those of you that are on BBS, I'm hearing all those dings on the line, would you guys like to say hello? Who are signing in?
Hello. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm late. Stephen Jong in the Starbucks.
Hi, Stephen.
Yeah, hi.
Are you on Starbucks?
No, I'm at home. It's a block away.
Yes. Now, you know, Stephen, I'll tell you something. You are setting a record by being here.
Why?
Well,
oh, really?
Well, let me just tell you why. Some years ago, I asked the Elohim, I said, how am I supposed to get this out to people? And they said, talk to one person at a time. And so I would be in Starbucks, and if someone was sitting next to me, I'd start a conversation. And then I'd say I'm an author, and then they'd all be very interested. I mean, everyone wants to talk to an author, right? And then I'd start talking about the Elohim and my girlfriends and driving and this stuff. And suddenly they look at me and they get up, they go to another table.
I like old. Well, I'm the one that needs the most help, so I come back for help. I'm spiritually messed up. My chakras are all closed down, man. I got to open them up.
Stephen, you set the record, Stephen. You set the record. You're the first guy from Starbucks to show up on our call.
Hey, what was I going to say? Flyers you gave me, I threw them out. But if you have a PDF of those, send them to me. I might put them around to hand them around.
Oh, you mean the little things about the Creator God book things?
Listen,
Stephen, let me just tell you, be careful. Don't, if you go to the Starbucks and start passing the flyers out,
I'm already under suspicion there. They think I'm a liar. I'm sneaky.
You may become a persona non grata. You know.
Yeah, I know.
That Starbucks is right across the street from you, isn't it?
Yeah, it's half a block down the hill.
I mean, the nearest.
I go there every morning.
The nearest Starbucks from there is at least a mile away, I think.
Yeah, it's over on Union. Wilshire and Union, yeah.
Wilshire and Union are the one downtown. I mean, I met Stephen at Starbucks, I guess, 2 months ago when we were in L.A., and Terry had something to do. Oh, I know. She was getting her hair done, and it was a few miles from the Starbucks, and that's when Terry was living downtown. You know, you guys don't know how crazy our life has been. It's not so crazy
How crazy mine is, right?
Huh?
I've already given you a sample of my craziness in my email.
I know. But Stephen, don't tell everybody because this is my show.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'm kind of like you are. I'm not a triple whammy Gemini like you. I'm a Gemini in my composite chart, but my Vedic chart. But I'm not as brilliant a Gemini as you are.
Listen. Terry was doing a great introduction, and then I started talking about her, and now we have overridden her, and she's not saying anything. Terry, do you have any comments?
We're back in the normal routine of the show.
We are. all right. Well, let me see here. Now I'm going blank. Terry, my mind just went blank just then. Now. I'm going to tell you guys a story. You know, I'm reminded of this story, and it's kind of funny. And I don't think you realize how crazy it is to do this, okay? It's stabilizing a little now, but it's like some of the stuff we've gone through is just... Some of it's really funny, except it was tragic at the time. It's funny when you go back and look at it.
It's tragic. Yes, it is tragic.
So, like, for example, you know, there was this period of time when Terry is talking to me, and she keeps saying, they want to talk to you. And I turn on the tape recorder. We're having these conversations. And... she was living in, she was living in Pasadena, and for some reason it was time for her to move. And I went, and there was a minister who I met somewhere who was running a room in her house. I don't want to say her name, I don't want to say where, but... Terry moved in. In fact, both of us moved in to her little room in this little house. And at first, she was really, really, her first impulse was, wow, I read this book. I love Wynn's book. I love David Wilcock. And then I started talking to her. We started talking about all these conversations we were having. And we were in, the second bedroom in a very small little apartment, and she didn't have much interest in what we were doing. I said, well, she's a minister. Why doesn't she have interest? If we're really doing this, but she didn't have interest. It's like, it was like, oh, you know. But she was very interested in David Wilcock Edgar Cayce. And I started to see that, I think, if I was going to say this, I think she was interested in that because I had a book out. And, you know, it's and Edgar Cayce was so famous, and I made the case for Edgar Cayce and David Wilcock being together. But the fact that we were in the bedroom talking to the Elohim, in fact, I think the Creator God book, the question, you know, the Creator Gods of the physical universe want to talk to you. I think we wrote a lot of that book in that room. And I would come out and say, look at this. Look what just came through. And she would be kind of just indifferent. And eventually, she decided I was on drugs. and there were all these strange phenomena that would happen, like, oh, my God. Let me see. For some reason, she was looking at some piece of furniture in her house, and she was thinking wood was disappearing from the base of the furniture, okay? And somehow she got the idea that people that were using drugs would take wood off furniture, I guess, to burn cocaine, right? And then, you know, whenever I would walk through, she would kind of look at me like a little weird. Like, finally, I think I spilled something on the rug, and Terry had to replace the rug, okay?
Cost a lot of money to replace that rug.
A lot of money to replace the rug. And she was thinking, I don't know. I think she just thought I was terrible. Finally, there was this one episode where I said, I think, Terry, we should move from there. You should move from there. And I said, well, where are we going to move to? You know, it's like, we're not normal roommates, right? We didn't have a lot of money to rent a big apartment. We're not normal roommates. So I was, like, doing some research. And Stephen, are you smoking again?
Excuse me. I'm coughing again.
Okay, I'm going to mute you.
Thank you.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
So I start, like, looking for places to live, and I realize, you know, we're really weird. I mean, how, you know, to be roommates with somebody is like, it surfaces other people's negativity. It's like they can't make it familiar, so they try to find something wrong with it. And, of course, at that time, nobody's really giving us any acknowledgement. We're just two weird people in Los Angeles. So I found a place two blocks from downtown L.A., that used to be a Catholic nunnery. It still had a little a chapel in it. And I took Terry down there. And it wasn't in the best neighborhood, but it was like a fortress. It was, you know, it was like totally isolated. It had little parking in it. And it had about 40 people living in it, and it had a community kitchen, it had like a really nice lady that managed it, who was very, very religious in her own way, But it was no longer a religious institution. It was owned by a Korean who was just renting it out. Koreans do this all the time. They have rooming houses, and they're nice. And so she was pretty fussy about who lived there. She had kind of an international community. There were people from all over the world. And somebody was on the line that expected the Elohim. That bong you heard was a hang-up. Okay, let me just get rid of all the bongs, okay?
Entry and exit chimes are off.
All right, entry and exit chimes are off. So we were moving from this lady's house, and we were moving to the nunnery. And what happened, Terry?
Everything went nuts. I mean, I'd replaced the rug for $500, and the rug was so old, and wall-to-wall carpeting, and it had been flooded over and over again by the toilet overflowing, so the whole underside of it was all watermarked and everything like that, and it wasn't in very good shape in the first place. But we replaced the rug, and then we were moving everything out of the place, and out of the room. We had everything loaded. We were loading everything in the car, and when I somehow misplaced the key, and
Terry?
What? Yeah.
Before that, wasn't there the graffiti incident before that?
When we were loading the car, somebody wrote on the car. Yeah, and they wrote on the car all over the windows, they wrote. And with some kind of a crayon, blues and whites and greens, and they said you're a Jewish rug eater or something like that, and I thought, a rug eater? I just replaced this rug. Who on earth would write that on my car? And
so at that moment, the woman came back. She saw that on Terry's car. And she got the idea that I did it.
Right. And so she called the police.
And I said, I'm getting out of here. I'm out of here. This is too crazy.
And so, she said, that means he did it because he doesn't want to wait for the police. He's getting out of here. That means he did it. And I thought, who could have done that? I mean, because my car was fine. I was loading my car. I went back inside. I come out, and it's written all over. And
this is a really nice. This is a really nice neighborhood too. I mean, you would think that would have happened near the nunnery in downtown L.A. You know, I mean, that was a funky neighborhood.
Yeah.
But this was a nice suburban neighborhood. And so, the next thing that happened was about 10 miles from where this house was, there was a Mexican restaurant that Terry and this woman would go to sometimes. And it was after this happened to the car, I think they went to the restaurant. I wasn't there. And
the lady went to the restaurant.
Okay,
and somebody had written the same things all over the windows of the restaurant.
Did they say rug eater on the window of the restaurant?
Well, I don't know if they said rug eater, but it was all just the same kind of chalk and crayon and writing on the restaurant window.
So, you know, this is how the negative operates. You know, something out there is impulsing people. And it starts to look like I'm doing it. And this woman is convinced that I'm doing it. And finally, we had to go back to the house to pick up some stuff, and Terry forgot her key. And I said, I want to get out of here fast. So we find...
Without a trace.
we go around the house to see if any windows open, and the windows open into her bedroom, and I start crawling in the window, and I break it all over her bed. Oh my God!
And then these big handprints all over her pillow, dirty handprints.
So I'm sharing this with you guys. I don't know why we're sharing this today. It's because I want you to know that we're human, and that the fact that we're on these calls and sharing this stuff is a bloody miracle, because it's so far out. And I know some of you are going through stuff and trying to figure things out. And, you know, I remember there was, when I was in grade school, I had this incident with this one teacher that was very much like what's happening with this minister. It was like everything I would do would look like I was bad because circumstances would do it. Like one time, she was already in this idea that there was something wrong with me. And there was this woman named Cynthia who had lost her hat. And she had a cold, and she asked the room, could everyone look for Cynthia's hat? I think the teacher's name was Mrs. Scott. I don't think she's listening, so I can use her name. I don't think she's probably not alive anymore. And she was a nice lady. And so the whole room was looking for Cynthia's hat, and Cynthia was just about to leave. At that point, I went into the closet, and I took my coat off the hook. And when I took the coat off the hook, this hat fell down to the ground. It was in the folds of my coat. And I went up and I gave it to Mrs. Scott. And I said, I found Cynthia's hat. And, I mean, Cynthia was just either about to leave or out the door, and she had to call her back. And there is no way that Mrs. Scott thought that that was an accident. She thought I had absconded with Cynthia's hat. And, I mean, for the next month, I wish she would look at me and I would feel guilty, even though I didn't do anything. So, you know, these are funny little things. And I don't, maybe we'll talk about how these things happen. It's almost like, could that really have been an accident? Was something setting me up, you know? And that people can turn on you and think you're bad. You know, that's one of the challenges. Those of you that, you know, love the idea of expanding your hologram and connecting to higher realms, it's not going to happen for everybody. But some of you are going to do that. And then you're going to attract some of this stuff. And you have to be prepared to handle it, okay? Because there's a lot of little gremlins and glitches out there that, and I can't exactly, one thing I did learn is that the negative can impulse people. It can impulse people who are on drugs, who are schizophrenic, who are heavily drinking. Many people have heard how there's negative beings in bars, and that, you know, that as you go through your life, particularly if you're doing something of a high nature, and it's something they would prefer not to happen, until you get a certain level of protection, I think this is true, you're vulnerable. And they will do what they can to decommission you in some way. like the very first grid healing, I've told this story before, but it kind of fits in, was when Daphne and I were in New York years ago, and we did the first grid healing at the World Trade Center, and we did a channeling, and they said, be very careful, because New York is filled with a lot of strange energies, and don't take your eyes off of Daphne, because she picks it all up. So we were driving out of New York, and we went to a Starbucks, and it was raining, and I was going to go there because I wanted to look up on the internet the correct route out of New York City. And I dropped her off at front of the Starbucks so she didn't have to walk in the rain, and I parked the car, and I went back to Starbucks, and she is totally freaked out. And this woman, just at the moment that I walked in, had poured coffee, threw coffee on her face. Luckily, it was not hot. And she was jumbled out and walking out the door. And they were running after her. They were going to call the cops. And the guy at Starbucks said, she comes in here all the time. She's kind of crazy. And sorry that happened. And can we send the cleaners to clean your friend's blouse? I got it. I got that she was kind of crazy, that we were on a very high vibration, and if I was going to say what happened, I'd say she was impulsed, and they threw coffee on her face, and it really did scare Daphne really badly. And so when you're doing this, when you have a high vibration and you're in this realm, you must be very, very aware. Aware of your surroundings, aware of what you do, who you talk to, who you communicate with, who you move in with if you have, renting a house, because you will attract the negative from other people towards you. They won't understand it. That's why it's not so easy to talk about it. That's why when Stephen says he wants to hand out flyers for my book, I'm not sure. He should do it carefully. Do it for people you have a resonance with, because I'm not sure you can do it with strangers successfully, particularly if it's the city where you live and the coffee shop where you go to. You can go to a strange place and do it, and then leave, and then whatever good comes from it will rise, but you don't have to worry about anything negative coming back to you. But, we called this prayer. We called this prayer, and I announced that I was going to do a workshop, and I'm actually, ever since I announced that, I've been having a queasy feeling in my stomach, like maybe I shouldn't do that workshop. Maybe people are going to take it wrong. So I'm going to decide by tomorrow if I'm actually going to do it. I even put the wrong date on it. I meant it to be this Saturday. And it's like, if I say things in the wrong way, people think I'm presumptuous, I'm this. And I'm thinking prayer is one of those sacred cows that really defines the relationship of a human to higher forces. And who am I to teach how to pray? Maybe I can do it. We do it. We're learning it just by being on these calls. But I don't think you can learn it in a classroom setting, although you can give ideas about it. Because if you've heard me talk about this, I don't even like to use the word pray. Because it's a word that people have an idea of what it means, and I don't think I use it in the same way. Just like the word God, it's like But nonetheless, when people think of those words, they have their own sacred relationship with those ideas. And who am I to come in to their world and say, here's how it works? They'd have to gravitate towards me. So it's one of those things that I'm not sure I want to do. I'm not sure if it would work. I never did it before. So I am considering it. But I was going to share with you on this call, before we actually go into the idea of prayer. Terry, is there anything you want to say? I'm hogging all the space here.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Now, this is another thing that I have been thinking about for a long time, and I think the energy is clear for me to share this, okay? So, you know, the thing about doing things publicly is once you do it, you can never take it back. It's out there. And people that are going to make their opinions about you or judge you, it's done. I mean, you say the wrong thing, and you can't help but say the wrong thing. You can't help it because you can't please everybody. And you say certain things that are going to change people's lives, and you say other things that make people hostile. And this is one of the catch-22s of it being in this realm and learning how to be totally authentic to yourself. Now, I think that what I'm projecting or what I'm creating or hoping that within our group we create a safe environment for people to be authentic with each other. That's why we're doing more and more things of people interacting, like the little calls at the end on Sunday or the team shift. And I realize that any time two people come together and interact, and they really are able to interact with each other as spiritual beings, it changes the universe. It changes the planet. Because this work, the kind of stuff we're doing, has to ground. It doesn't ground. I'm going to say this is not exactly accurate, because I get emails from people that have been listening to us for a long time that I don't know, that nobody knows. They just are on our replays, and suddenly out of the blue they tell me, I've been listening to you and you changed my life and things shifted for them. And they never really grounded into the group. There's a group. There's people that get to know each other on these lines. But they took the information and they shifted their life. So it's not necessary for people to ground into rapport with other people in the group. But for many people, I see it being a great blessing to have that opportunity, because otherwise you're a weirdo everywhere. You start paying attention to these kinds of ideas and you start experiencing things, and it's really nice to have other people that you connect with, that you commune with, to help hold the energy for it, because most people won't or can't. And even when you think they should, like I really thought that minister was should have been really, really open. I mean, more than open. Like, wow, these guys are here and they're doing that. And yet it just provoked her. And I began to understand how it worked. When people have a reality system, and particularly when they're making money from their reality system, making money from a reality system makes you very committed to that system. So if somebody comes in that's got a reality system that would tend to upset yours, you're automatically going to be very defensive because you're going to think, uh-oh, how am I going to make money if everything I'm doing is wrong? So this person had a fairly rigid, even though she was in a more liberal church, she was fairly rigid in her ways of thinking. And she had a congregation. And now, if she was totally saying, what's for the highest good of everyone, she would have looked at our work and say, oh my God, this is very special. Well, let me read that. That makes sense. She would have had me come in and talk to her congregation. But that would have been upsetting because it's too strong. You wonder why it's so hard to put something like this into the world, and that's the reason. Why is not the ARE giving David Wilcock any attention? Aside from the fact that if they did, he'd probably run away from them in a year and screw it up. But nonetheless, if there's an institute that has got people in it that are on salary, that are making money, that have buildings, that have mailing lists, how could they possibly recognize that David Wilcock was Edgar Cayce? How could they do it, even though it's true? David had said, he had heard somebody say when he was living in Virginia Beach that even if he was Edgar Cayce, we could never admit it. Because now they are jeopardizing all their finances, okay? They are jeopardizing, we have this institute totally dedicated to Edgar Cayce that's paying people, and now this fairly radical, fairly unpredictable young guy is saying he was Edgar Cayce. And if they acknowledged it, and suddenly they said it to their constituents, the people who were in the Edgar Cayce Institute, maybe they'd send all their money to David instead of to the Institute, and they wouldn't have jobs anymore. Now, you see what a catch-22 it is? It's like once money is involved, it can so easily corrupt things. You know, it's one of the reasons that I do these things for free. Why we're on the line 3 days a week? Why we're sending emails out to people? And because it keeps me from being corrupted. Because what happens is once money is involved, you start thinking in terms of amassing money and how many people can I get to buy my book? And what do people want to hear so I can sell more books?
And when? And,
yeah.
But why do you think your last name is what it is?
Free? I don't know. So in any case, so the big problem is, well, it's nice to do that, except at one point I imagined when I was living in L.A. that maybe someday I'll be doing conference calls on Skid Row. Well, then I just have to play for my BlackBerry and have a nice tent because on some level this has to support itself. So that has been a challenge. I want to say that many of you have made donations, and occasionally we've gotten a really generous donation, and it's helped us keep going. And we really appreciate that. And if I had 30 or 40,000 people on my list, we could probably make enough money through our little $3 and $4 sales and donations to survive and even prosper. But it's a double-edged sword because how does this grow? Let's just say there was money was no object. I would be going doing workshops everywhere. I wouldn't care about whether I made money because the money was no object. Somebody that was wealthy made a big donation. I would be putting banners up all over the internet. The creator gods of the physical universe want to talk to you, and have them go and download my book. And I'd get 30 or 40,000 people, and then it would support itself. But it's been kind of a spinning wheel situation. Now, there's probably someone out there that would support it. And if you keep doing something, eventually you find that person. But in the meantime, the world, as I observe, at a grassroots level, there are so many people that would like to find this work. And it's like, how do you get through the cracks and get to the people on a grassroots level with no compromise, with no control mechanisms? Like, that's one of the problems with money. As soon as somebody puts up money, they think of it as a business and they want to make money. And as soon as they want to make money, it becomes a control mechanism. Unless you're doing exactly what you want to do. So I'm introducing something because a year ago we started experimenting with something. And let me see. I'm going to open the lines here.
All callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
Now, Steve, don't call from the phone because I just unmuted everybody, okay?
I'll try not to.
You know, I really like it when everyone's live, because when I say something and people laugh, it makes me feel good, and I haven't resorted to a laugh track yet. So in any case, I mean, you guys, we're having a conversation, and I'm not really performing, okay? And, you know, many of you who keep coming in these calls are starting to appreciate the quality of what is coming through and integrating it into your life. And I mean, in a couple of calls, what did they say? They said, I couldn't even relate it to this idea, but they said it, so I'll repeat it. They said, we're creating the basis for a new civilization. Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
But, you see, when we come together in such a loving way and we hold that space, this is not about following me. This is not about having a bestseller. We are grounding a way of being which is very rare in this realm. And if it reaches enough people, it could change. Who knows what could happen? So you understand the challenge. On one hand, you need money to reach people, but money corrupts. Money controls. Money even can control potentially me. I mean, I'm just a guy here. I don't want to live on Skid Row. So we started something last year. And I'm going to share it with you because there's something that you may have to do with it, okay? And I was learning about some technologies that were going on in Asia. And people were selling these products multi-level that were supposed to put out energy. And I bought some samples, and I thought I liked them, but it didn't hit me over the head, but it was pleasant. It was a pendant. And so we live in Sedona, and I said to myself, I wonder if this would sell in the stores in Sedona. And so I made a little display and took it to the local health food store. And And I had to beg the woman to let me stick it down on this counter. It was on this cluttered counter with a lot of other products. I had to leave it on consignment. She wouldn't buy them. And I said, I wonder what will happen. So I came back a week later, and the guy tells me, what's in these things? And they were selling like crazy. And the next week, all the employees were wearing those. And so this was in Christmas period, and we sold about 50 in the month of December in the store out of this little display that almost no one noticed. So then I got the idea, we live in Sedona. What happens if we take these things, and, you know, Sedona is like the energy center of the universe, at least to tourists. You know, it's got vortexes. So there's all these stores, these touristy places with crystals and everything to boost your energy. So we put it in another store, and the same thing happened. And we put it in another store, and the same thing happened, okay? And this has been going on for a year. And we've been running this business. And I haven't talked about it because for the longest time, I didn't want to, if you notice, I never sell anything. I don't have affiliate programs. I don't bring other people on the show that want exposure. There's people that ask me all the time that say, would you sell this through your list? I don't even want to sell my things through my list. And so I did not want to talk about this in the group. It was just something I was saying, I wonder if we can make some money. So we did. We started making money from all these stores. And so at the present time, we have about 50 stores, and we put them in a store, and suddenly, a store in Santa Fe said, these are the fastest moving products we've seen in 3 years, and I've only worked here 3 years. Well, do you guys know why they're selling? I'm not going to tell you, okay? But just think about it. We have a source that can project energy into this realm, right? Mm-hmm. And that they want us to be successful. So these things have like an extra zip to them. I'm not going to even ask them this because I don't want to put them on. I'd like this to be my little fantasy, okay? Because I don't want to make any more controversy about it. But there, people are responding to these things better than other pendants that are out there. Our pendants have a special little deal on it, special energy on them. So I'm going to tell you that you guys can buy them. And this is the first time I've ever done a commercial. And they're selling on the web for $29. If you use the discount code EARTH, E-A-R-T-H, it goes down to $20, okay? So if you like what we're doing, if you like our work, not only is this a great and economical product, but it's a great Christmas present. So I'm going to be talking them up as a way of just raising money to support us, and if all of you that are going to give any Christmas presents to consider these pendants. Does that sound neat?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so the website is wellnesspendant.net, okay? I don't think I'm going to send emails out about this. I don't think so. This is only going to be for people that listen to me on the show, because I think if I send emails out, people will judge it, okay? Certain people never listen to the shows, and they'll pick up an email and think, oh, you're just exploiting it. But it's wellnesspendant.net.
Can we pay for it through PayPal?
Yes, you can. You can pay for it for PayPal. You can get as many as you want. We have them gift boxed. Terry is shipping them. Terry's been helping. So it's wellnesspendant.net. You can pay for it with PayPal or a credit card, or you can send money. And the discount code is EARTH, E-A-R-T-H. Now, another thing that happened to us about 10 months ago is, or a year, I don't remember how long, I think it was last February. We were in Los Angeles, and we were doing the expo there, and the guy, there was a guy that had a booth near us who had aura cameras. Have you guys ever seen an aura camera?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
no.
He came down, it's a camera that you sit in front of it, and it takes a picture of your aura, or he says, okay? And it works by picking up, I'm not going to try to explain how it works, but people are lining up all day, and they all have different colors in their auras, and he takes their pictures and charges them for the picture. So he came to our booth and said, I wonder what these pendants will do to somebody's aura. So he took it down to his booth, and somebody was sitting there in front of the camera, and he took a picture, and then he put a pendant on them, and their aura totally changed. So you can go to the website and see the pictures, because we were using those pictures to market stuff, you know, to market so people, I mean, people have a hard time believing these things work. And for some people, huh? For some people, some people it knocks their socks off, and some people it works over time. But we have so many testimonials from people at this point. You can read them on the website. So on that note, I spent all this time, and I've done a commercial, and we're going to go into prayer. But I was praying for more money, so...
Could I say something? It's Isis.
Yes, Isis.
About the pendant.
Yeah.
So my friend got me one last Christmas from you, and then he told me he was going to send me something. It was a surprise. So I was, like, looking forward to this. And then I didn't know what to expect, so I opened it, and it was a pendant. And then I put it on, and... I mean, I've connected to Ra'an really strongly, like many, many times. And when I put it on, it was like such a strong energy. Like it was almost the same. And I told my friend, wow, what is this? It was amazing. So I just wanted to share that with everybody. And I know everyone has different experiences, but I just wanted to share. So I highly recommend it.
Thank you so much. That's another paid testimonial. Thank you.
Yes. My two cents.
Thank you for sharing. And but I mean, there's a money back guarantee. At $29, we're selling them for $20 to everyone that's listening to this call. It's worth trying, and it's a great. Eventually, I'm going to put a little card in them, and. People that buy them in these stores, I'm going to say, join us on our Sunday grid healing, okay? Of course, most people are not going to know what that is. Then I'm going to have to do these long introductions on the grid healing, explaining what we're doing in some ways that sound human or acceptable to people. But it ties in with our work, because we're starting to get metaphysical bookstores. And then I talk to them on the phone, and I talk about the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and they never heard about the book. There's also the potential here. It's not up to this place yet. We're testing it. But Saturday, we went to the Professional Woman's Bazaar in Cottonwood, and Terry sold them. And there was almost nobody there, and she sold 6, which means, you know, this may be a way for some of you to make a living somewhere, going to little places. Who knows where it will unfold. But right now, we have about 50 stores And a lot of them are selling them like crazy. And a lot of people that don't know about our work, that don't know anything about it, that are just buying them cold, are saying, wow, what are these things? So I'm going to say it one more time, being a good salesman. This is me when I used to sell at fairs. Wellnesspendant.net. Wellnesspendant.net. And the discount code is EARTH. You can see the aura pictures. I tell the story there, but I don't put my name on it. But we tell the story of what happened in that store in Sedona. And check it out and think about it as maybe getting bunches of them for Christmas presents. Because you know what? If you give it to somebody as a Christmas present and they notice the energy, it's a real opening to start talking to them about the work we're doing. And, you know, just say, oh, this guy, he's, you know, he does these phone lines. There's a lot of energy on the phone line. I mean, you know, the thing is, do not try to explain too much. The early part of the call was the explanation of Steve started this because he met me in Starbucks, and he won the award of the first person that I ever talked to in Starbucks that comes in on the line. So, Steve, thank you very much. And that started me into thinking about all the crazy things that have happened to us when we talk to people. And I wasn't even sure I was going to talk about the pendant tonight. I said, I'm not going to talk about it. I announced this workshop, but I don't want to do that. And if I talk about the pendant, I'm going to get in trouble. Well, there you go. I did it. The cat's out of the bag. Now I can't take it back. So let's, Terry, are you there? Hello, Terry.
I'm here. Yes.
You sound like you're buried in the background.
Yeah, she's far away.
Are you getting closer?
Yeah, I'm here now. I had the earphone up on my head.
Mm-hmm. If anyone's listening to the call for the first time tonight, this is not a normal call. But if you remembered what I said at the beginning of the call, they're never normal calls. They're always seat of the pants. Anything can happen. Usually, I don't talk so much. Usually, sometimes I do. Sometimes we're just very strict. We're on a topic. But you know what? We have so many archives that I feel like we got to get our archives up and just make them available and let people discover us through all the archives of all these calls. And many of you are finding yourself part of this. Many of you who come into these calls are finding yourself part of this. And you're part of this because you are part of this. This is not my thing. I'm just doing my part of it. And other people are now starting to do little parts of their own. And there's no hierarchy here. It's just that what do you have to contribute if you want to? And, you know, part of the reward of that, of making a contribution, is being of value. Do you know that what keeps people alive is the value they create for others? And for many people, it's the value to their husband or their wife or their children or their family or their church. Once somebody has no way of being of value to anything in this realm, oftentimes they die. That's the time they say to themselves, I'm finished here. So being of value is a way to keep energies going in you, to keep yourself motivated, to have a reason to get up every day. Because once that reason goes away, you're gone. And one of the things, when you want to create value, and you also want to graduate this realm, it helps to, your value is connected with the evolution of the realm, of the planet. Because if your value is totally connected with things of this earth, like a family, like a husband, like a business, that's nothing wrong with that. But if it's totally connected with that, you have your energy is all connected with that. And that's why people reincarnate, because they reincarnate to where their energy is connected. When you start creating value, not only does it keep you alive, but it creates service for the planet, and it doesn't bind you to the planet, to the energies of the planet by doing high service. So even if you have responsibilities in the physical realm to other people, it's okay, it's good to be doing high service at the same time. It doesn't mean you have to leave those people or abandon your families. In fact, you'll probably do the job better because you don't feel trapped by it. Normally, if you're what I would call a high matrix person or an old soul, and you're surrounded with people that are not as old as you, this is not a hierarchy now. This is a dilemma. You tend to feel trapped by those people that are around you. And then you get antsy. You get rebellious. And you're not easy to be around because part of your high self wants you to connect with this higher stuff. Once you start connecting with the higher stuff, it takes the pressure off. You're doing it, and then you can be much better around those people. And you can just be what they need because they need you to be something. And without being trapped by what they need, you can just do it. It's like, I don't know, does that make sense? No one's answering.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. I mean, why are wanderers alienated? Why are they alienated? It's because they have such a hard time having affinity with anything down here. Because if they're a wanderer, they're a older experienced soul. And they're in this realm. They've chosen to come in here to be of service. And now they're in this realm and everything is contracting them to a lower, more contracted way. Because they're more, if I say more evolved, it does not mean to go on an ego trip and think you're more evolved and you're better than. It's not better than. It's like everything is part of the law of one. And we're all at different places. And if you're of service, being more evolved means you have to become a servant, so to speak. Servant is not a good word. Of service to those people here and to fulfill your mission. It's not standing on a pedestal and saying, look at me, I'm more evolved. I've got something to share with you. It's like those people who you serve are giving you a reason to be of value. They're giving you a reason to be alive. And that is important because otherwise you'll end up in trouble. You'll be looking for love in all the wrong places, and then you'll have karmic patterns on top of you. So, what is prayer? Prayer is...
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Now, I may not have this right. I'll tell you how I come to understand it. And I'm telling you from a person that doesn't even like to use the word. Because it automatically, for most people, prayer sets up a hierarchy. there's a God, and I have to pray to God because of God. If I win God's favor, nice things will happen, and I can cause things to change. And I think the more real way of looking at prayer is that everything is God, but there are higher forms, just like you may be more evolved than other people, but that doesn't make you stand on a pedestal and say, worship me because I'm more evolved. It means that other people who you can really hold for and be of service to are giving you the opportunity to be of value and justify your existence. Now, I never asked this question. Now, I'm just going to say what I think might be true. We might ask it, is we have these sources that have worked very hard to evolve humans. And the indications have been when the Elohim first created the physical universe, and when they gave free will and extended free will to all the beings who were evolving here, they didn't know what was going to happen. They didn't know how bad it would turn out and how oppressed people could be and how enslaved people could be. And I sense they might feel a certain amount of responsibility for wanting to make a contribution to shift things. And they have a hard time finding an anchor here that can hold the space, is willing to do it, and doesn't corrupt it. And in this circumstance here, I think they see that potential. And so we who are listening to these calls regularly and have learned to feel this sense of camaraderie with the Elohim, like they're our energy friends, that they want, they bless these kinds of connections, because this is probably the only way they have of interfacing with this realm. Now, I'm speaking from my own gut instincts. I haven't asked these questions to them, but I've observed the interaction. I've asked many other questions. And so they would like to answer prayers, but it's, take out the word prayer, take the word interface with us.
Request?
And requests, yeah. We need to make requests. We need to make requests so they don't violate our free will. And it does seem to me the more that you connect with their energy, the easier it is for them to hear you and to answer and work with you. And, of course, the more you're dedicated to service, to really serving the planet, the more it fulfills their, if they have an agenda, if I would say they had an agenda, their agenda would be to create opportunities for evolution, for people loving each other, for not being in such compressed, contracted, depressed states that so many people end up in this realm. And so they want to help. they want to make a difference, and it's through people like us that they can bridge from their realm into this realm. And prayer is your part of creating a bridge, but it's just say a request. Say a connection, affiliation, a camaraderie, a communion. And it's not easy to get the right words to explain this, but you who have been on these lines regularly are in the experience of it, and I think many of you understand exactly what I'm saying, and I'm just trying to bring into words, refining it, the experience we've been having. And I'm talking about the Elohim and the Ra group. If I was talking about the Ra group, I would say the Ra group may also appreciate the opportunity. And a good question is, when we have prayers, in which case would the Ra group come in and work with a prayer? In which case would the Elohim group come in? What kind of requests, if there's a difference, would make that difference, okay, between those two groups? So that's a good preamble on this topic. And Terry, are you by the microphone?
Yeah, hello, I'm Terry. Right here. I was just looking up prayer. It's got an interesting definition. It's a prayer is a form of religious practice that seeks to activate a volitional rapport to a deity through deliberate practice. Prayer may be either individual or communal and take place in public or in private. It may involve the use of words or song. When language is used, prayer may take the form of a hymn, incantation, formal creed, or spontaneous utterances in the praying person.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that started me and why I even thought of doing this workshop on Saturday was Terry, because, you know, she was sharing with me stuff. Now, you see, if Terry was not able to do planetary service, she wouldn't be in this realm. She doesn't fit. would I say the same thing about me? I could probably, I guess everything I've ever done in my life, on some level, I had some kind of service to it. Even when I was playing music and playing around. But I think Terry even more than me. And she has a friend, Ken. And Ken was really on the verge of dying. And she was telling me that she was looking at his liver and it was all inflamed on a certain day. And then she called him up and said, told him what she saw. And he was already sick, and he told her that he was at the airport and somebody punched him. And
they punched him repeatedly. It was one of the guards, and they were trying to make him throw up so that they wouldn't have to let him on the plane.
Yeah. Did they think he was on drugs or something?
No, but he had all of his medicines with him that the doctor had prescribed, and they were all in these things that were more than 3 ounces, and they took a look at this, and they confiscating everything and started treating him very meanly and just rude and hitting him repeatedly.
Ken would come under the category of spiritual teacher. He's a very wise person. He brings through also messages from other realms, not the Elohim Ra group, but usually when people do that, they don't really aren't interested in our work because they compete with it. But he's actually, Terry's known him for a few years now, and he's actually been paying attention to our work. In fact, you know, at some point, who knows, we might have him on one of the calls and talk to him. But so when you start doing that, and those, you know, you do attract negative stuff. And so Ken was beat up at the airport by the guards. His liver went from bad to really bad. And
It's like his liver turned raspberry red. And it was showing me what his liver looked like. And so I said to him, I said, what happened on Thursday? And he said, well, this guy was hitting him repeatedly. And I said, your liver was burning up. He says, yeah, it was really hot. And also, I said, and your liver, in spite of it being raspberry red and really inflamed from this eating, your liver looks 100% better, you know, than it did about 9 months ago when I was praying for him for 3 days because he was so sick he couldn't even get out of bed, and I was praying for him to be cured. And so after 3 days, they finally said, okay, and I called him up at that point, and he said 20 minutes before that, he'd started feeling good enough to get out of bed. And so they were showing me his liver before, and his liver was like had big black spots in it, and it was all this milky white liquid that couldn't be, it was just all over, couldn't be absorbed by his liver. And so his liver's 100% better, but now he has to really protect himself. He can't get beaten up at airports.
I wanted to make an important point here. It's like Terry actually was laying in bed for 3 days. I said, what are you doing? She said, she's praying for Ken. And, you know, when you normally think about prayer, when I would normally think about prayer, you'd sit down in a reverent moment and say, could you please help Ken? And then you go on with your day. And here she spent 3 days. So, you know, there is, what I'm getting is that she was part of the energy. It wasn't just asking them to do it and disappearing. It's like she was there holding them up, sweeping the floor all the time as being part of it, because that keeps the energy in attendance, okay? And we create the grounding for the higher energies. It's not like asking for something, like, please do me a favor. Now, I don't think that's a wrong way to ask, so asking in any way is good. But asking in the most effective way is, and if you really care, instead of deferring all your power to them, realize that the consistency of the energy is part of what holds us together. That's what I get. So on that note, Terry, we're going a long time, okay?
Let's see, what time is it?
It's 8:30. Well, we've been on for an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah, but we had done a couple of shows on prayer previously.
Yeah, yeah.
There was one show that we did that's going to be sent out shortly on Spirit Channel that's on connection. And there's so much good information in there, the channeled information on how to connect with mm-hmm. the higher realms. It's invaluable information. And before that, Carla did a show with us on prayer.
Yeah. You know what? We have to... You see, one of the things is there's so much we should be putting up on the Internet. And it's like when I'm anxious about money, I have a really hard time taking the time to do it. And thank goodness there's people like Gary and Bogdan in Sweden who are helping maintain things. And that these, you know, maybe these pendants will be a vehicle that can create enough money so we can really max out this work in this realm. And Lisa is starting to help, and Edna, there's so many people now that are volunteering little bits of stuff. And if any of you are really, really good editors and want to help with transcripts, Pauline, I don't know if Pauline's on the line, but Pauline is helping to coordinate transcribers. But in any case, why don't, Terry?
Yeah.
You know, we won't do a long session with them. Why don't I just call in the light and let them make their comments on the topics we've been discussing, okay? And then we'll close the show, okay? Is that okay?
Well, not going to be very long because this is very late.
No, I mean like 5 minutes, okay? Just
all right.
Anything relevant on prayer or, you know what, any of the ways that I talked about them, just give them a little space and then we'll close. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of Earth, through our bodies and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And we create a space for our sources to come in and address us.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are here with you non-linearly with each and every person on the line, each and every person that is on BBS radio listening or anyone that would read a transcript later. We connect, we feel your energy, we feel your love. We send you love, love of connection. And we are there for you. We give us a moment. We use this time to connect with people all over the world who are in need of connection. People who are reaching, people who in their own daily tasks are bringing forth higher energy and higher connection into their own individual lives and bringing it into the lives of others, individuals all over the world. We see and connect with all those people that are reaching and are caring and are nurturing. And we send them support and we send them love and we reach out and touch each and every person on this line. Adonai.
Thank you. And we'll close this call now and thank all of you for being here and holding these energies and unmute everybody.
All callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
And
thank you, Lynn.
We'll see.
Thank you.
Is that Jean?
Thank you.
Well, thank you all. And we'll see
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, Lynn.
We'll see you Wednesday.
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you, Lynn.
Thank you, Terry. PBS.
Love to everybody.
You stop conference recording. Your conference recording has stopped.